Almighty and gracious Father, our whole salvation depends on a true understanding of your word. Because of that, we pray that you would grant to all of us that our hearts may hear and apprehend that word, that we may do that with diligence and faith. May we rightly understand your gracious will. May we cherish it and live by it with all earnestness to your praise and honour through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Who is wise and understanding among you? Do you see there? The question is not, how do I get wise? What steps can I take? What five-stage strategy? The question is not how, or even what is going to make me into a wise person. No. If you look down at 13, you're going to see it right there. Who in your church? Who in your family? Who in your school? Who in our society? Who? What about you? Are you wise? In other words, can you rightly recognize wisdom when you see it? Can you rightly recognize a wise person in your midst? Who is wise and understanding among you? Who stands up as a wise person is what James is asking. You might consider yourself to be that wise person, but is that a reality? You might consider your poppy to be wise or an older relative, but is that just sentimentality? There's the guru, there's the well-known Christian leader, but is that all just popularity? And then there's things like reputation and publication. You know, how many books have they read? How many philosophy books have they written? Tonight, we're going to study this passage so that we can put on the glasses, so that we can see, so that we can rightly recognize wisdom. A wise person will cross your path and you'll go, ah, there it is. I saw it. A so-called wise person will cross your path and you'll go, you might go, not so much. Maybe that could be what James calls lies against the truth. So our aim is to rightly recognize wisdom, and it's going to be seen in three things. If you want to rightly identify wisdom, you have to look out for three things. A wise person will be seen in three ways. They are practical, they are humble, and they are peaceful. First of all, they are practical. Have a look at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. See, it's not what you've read that makes you wise. It's not what you think. It's not even what you know. Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, let them show it, is what James is saying. In other words, it's in what you do that shows wisdom. It's in how you behave that determines a wise life. See, already in James, we've seen this. If you know James, you know that he's got this massive idea of not just listening, but doing. Right? For James, for the Christian life, what you do shows what you believe rather than what you just say. Right? Your actions speak louder than words, is James. Have a look at 1:22. So it should be on the same page. 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Or have a look at 2:14. 2:14. What good is it if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. It's not what you've read about. It's not all the philosophies that you've read in their original. Oh yes, I read Nietzsche in German the other day. Or whatever it is. It's not what you've read, it's not what you think, it's not even what you know. Who stands up as wise and understanding? Well, it's seen in what you do. Let them show it. Wisdom is revealed by what you do. Now, also earlier in James, we also discover that this wisdom isn't even something that you can just go out and get on your own. Wisdom isn't something that you can work for. The way to wisdom is not even in ourselves. None of us are capable, no. Before any of us can work to be a wise person, before any of that, God has to give you wisdom. Just have a look at 1 verse 5. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. A little later on in that very same chapter, James calls this wisdom a word planted in you which saves you. See, and this fits the logic of what Christianity is all about. This fits our understanding of Christianity. It's not deeds that save you in Christianity. It's not being a good person that will save you in Christianity. No. Deeds show that you are saved, as well as giving you great joy in being able to do them. It's fun to do them. It's not that deeds make you into a wise person. No, deeds show you have the wisdom of God planted in. For everyone and anyone who calls out to God, God will plant his wise word into their life. And that means you've changed. As soon as he does it, you are a different person. Even whether you act like it or not, you're now wise. Our standing before God isn't determined by ourselves. Our status before God isn't based upon what we have done. It's based on what he has done for us. And so you've changed. You're wise now, whether you act like it or not. That's the logic of Christianity. Do you see? It's going on here. And now James is saying, having been made wise, now having this word planted in you, now having this wisdom in your life, the wisdom of God, now do it, obey it, live it, show it, so that people can see. Not what you've read, not what you think, not even what you know. You might know a lot about stuff. You might know a lot about Christianity. Wisdom is revealed by what you do, because wisdom is God planting his word in your life, his wise word in your life. We know that what God has planted in us will one day be fully grown. That's not to say that God's wisdom is incomplete or insufficient now. No way. By no means. Our standing before God, you know, isn't determined by what we do, our status. But before God, it is based on him and what he has done, and he has made us wise. So it's full and complete now. But it's not yet seen in this life. It's not yet experienced in this life. So that's why I say what God has planted in us will one day be full grown. As in fully seen. As in fully experienced. Until then, we have to live in a way that shows this wisdom. But James actually points out that there are some people who, even though they have this wisdom in them, they don't live like it. Even though this wisdom is there, they actually live in a way that kind of ignores it. See there in verse 15 and 16 of our passage, he talks about an earthly wisdom or an earthbound wisdom. Even though God has made you wise, you don't actually live that way. Or he talks about living life in a heavenly way. So you recognize this world now, that it's physical, that it's spiritual. You believe that God will one day make all things new, a physical, spiritual world. Then you live life in this here and now, in this world, anticipating what God will one day do, getting ready for what God will one day do, that what he has planted in you will be full grown, fully seen, fully experienced, that what he has planted in you will come to fruit. Now that's wise, isn't it? That's a wise way to live. That would be wisdom, to live like that. It wouldn't be very wise to have God's word planted in you and then to ignore it and live in an earthly way. Live life here as an anticipation of what God will do. That is living from above, because that is taking into account what God is doing. And so, let's apply this. And so, someone may really focus on the spiritual side of things. They may be into retreats, philosophy, contemplation, meditation, wise sayings, life skills, books for better living, chia seeds, paleo diets. And some of those things are fine, great even. I love a chia seed. Right? But then if you look at their life and you see difficult relationships, pride, quarrelling, very few friends, and a pattern of that going through their life, James says, you know what? They aren't spiritual at all. Oh, man. They may talk about being spiritual. They may talk all about the soul, talk all about positive energy and prayer and being in touch and the sacred and the divine, but it's not from God. if that's the way they're behaving, that their behavior proves that they're totally removed from God. In fact, if anything, verse 15 says they're more connected with Satan than God. Satan, who tempts people to give in to their heart's desires. Verse 15. Now, on the other hand, as we're looking with our worldly eyes, you might see somebody who is plain, simple, down to earth, salt of the earth. They don't really get into spiritual stuff at all in the way they talk and act, and yet they're living with good relationships and care. Well, that person is far more in line with God than the first person. They have much more to do with God than the first person, whether they're a Christian or not. Good living is a reflection of God's wisdom. And then, on top of that, right, you throw in the idea that someone is a committed Christian and has asked God for his wisdom from above and has asked God to put his wise word in their life and plant that wise word in their life. You know they are the wise one. Even though they look like the most earthly person you've ever seen, plain and simple, they are the one who is deeply spiritual because they have the word of God living in them, the wise word of God. Guys, I want to call on you this day, for the coming year, to rightly recognize wisdom when you see it, to rightly recognize true spirituality, to know it when you see it. Ah, there it is. Words and appearances count for nothing, James says. Don't worry about that stuff. Words and appearances count for nothing compared to behavior. And so if you want to see who is wise and understanding among you, behavior. How do they live? What's going on around them? You know, someone might be dressed in gentle, organic fabrics, accompanied by the delightful smell of patchouli and lemongrass. You know, they're on their way to Yamara to pick up their coconut oil, whatever. Meanwhile, you've got another person, right? They've got a, whatever, Jack Daniels racing jacket on, you know, scruffy jeans, accompanied by the smell of Horizon 50s cigarettes. You know, they're on their way to pick up cage eggs or something. Both of them could be spiritual when you look. Both could be spiritual. Neither could be spiritual. One could be, the other might not be at all. Who knows? Just take care, won't you? To rightly recognize, to know it when you see it. Whether the good word is planted in them is what makes them spiritual. And if the good word is planted in them, it will come out in what they do. And by the way, that's why we never call people bogans or trash or trailer trash or white trash. We never speak about people like that. You could actually be calling a fellow believer, a wise one who has this wise word put in them, you might be calling them a yucky, hateful name. Right? Meanwhile, you're deferring to and admiring somebody who doesn't have that same spiritual life going on inside them. And you read James 2, where he condemns exactly that behaviour. James chapter 2, exactly that. He says, you're judging based on appearances. That is not wise. And he says, hasn't God chosen the lowly to inherit the kingdom of God? Aren't they the ones more likely to have the wise word planted in? And yet we so easily use these terms, bogan, trash, whatever. No, rightly recognize wisdom, rightly recognize spirituality, know it when you see it. And more, another application point. If any of you here are wise, then show it. Show it by what you do. If God has planted his word in you, then come on, let's see. Let's see it. But what do you do? Like, how do you show it? How do you live with this wise word? How do you stand up and say, well, I'm going to do it? Well, that brings us up to point two. So who is wise and understanding among you? Well, practical, first of all. That's how you recognize a wise person. They're practical. But then second, they're humble. That's point two. Look at the verse again. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy, selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So earlier in James, we discover that wisdom isn't something you can get on your own. No, wisdom isn't something that we work for. No, before any of that, God must give it to us. We just saw in chapter 1, verse 5, that we must call out to God and he'll place his wisdom in our hearts. The same chapter of James calls wisdom a word planted in you that can save you. This fits the logic of Christianity. The logic of Christianity is not your deeds that will save you. No, deeds show you are saved, as well as giving you great joy in being able to do them. Right? Deeds show you have the word planted in you. But God's wise planted word doesn't just make you into a practical person. It doesn't just change the way you live. No, God's wise planted word also makes you a humble person. It humbles you. There is humility that comes from this wisdom. Because we know that there was a time when we weren't very wise. We didn't have much understanding, not of God and his ways. On our own, we didn't deeply know God. We didn't have this wisdom that could put us in touch with him. No, on our own, without God, we judged others. There was bitterness and anger. We also know that when we weren't wise, he made us wise. When we didn't have understanding, that's when he came into our lives and gave us understanding by planting that word. When we had judged others, when we were full of bitterness, he planted something brand new in us. And this wasn't cheap and easy for God. This wasn't pop down to the shops. You know, just a quick pop down to the shops and get that sorted out, save the world, plant a word in them, yada-da, be home in time to watch Big Bash. No. God's Son came into the world as a perfect gift from above. Jesus came into the world and died for the sins of the world and especially for the sins of his people. His life was, James calls it, a good and perfect gift from above. And because he did this, the way was now open for God to be able to plant that word in our lives. Unless Jesus did this, our life was thorns and thistles. Our life was, there was no ground by which he could plant this within us. But when Jesus died, the judgment fell. The price was paid, forgiveness was given, the ground was open. The ground was free. God could come and plant his good word in our life. Before it was just choking weeds and thorns, now it is ready and prepared. And so we can go, this is God's work. This is not me. I haven't become a wise person through all my reading and knowledge, no. I was just full of thorns and thistles. This is God's work. To put that wisdom inside me, to plant his wise word, that makes you humble. It is inevitable. To receive this word of wisdom will lower you, it will humble you. The wise life is seen in what you do, practical. The wise life is seen in how you do it, humble. And so who is wise and understanding among you, Crossroads? Well then, show it. Come on, let's see it. Who do you see in our church performing deeds in humility? Where it's not about themselves, it's not about what they know, it's not about what they get or what they've read, but they just do it in thankfulness for God planting his wise word in their life. Look around. Think about it. Who do you see performing deeds done in humility? And then follow them. Copy them. Model your life on them. They are the one who is wise. Don't get tricked. Thinking it's the person with the knowledge, it's the person with the reading, it's the person who's done these degrees. No, don't be tricked. God's wisdom is humbling, but it's not humiliating. It tells the truth about people and it lifts them up. It tells the truth, it doesn't ruin people. So model your life on that sort of person. In Australia, wisdom is often understood as somebody who maybe they do yoga, and then they read philosophy down at the cafe, right, in the original language, Nietzsche in German or something. And we go, whoa, that's wise. Right? But also in Australia, and perhaps even more, the wise person is often the person who can say a really sharp word at just the right time, you know, and they cut someone down. And they come across as quite smart, and we just think, wow. You know, maybe they work for the ABC, they take on the politicians, and they never let anyone get away. Now, of course, it's fine to be like that, probably, but that's not the definition of wisdom that James is giving us. We don't give that the highest place and the highest praise. God's wisdom isn't cynical, cutting, destructive or humiliating. It tells the truth about people, yeah, and it lifts them up. It tells the truth, it doesn't ruin people. And so look around. Who do you see performing deeds in humility? Not about themselves or what they know or what they think, but just in sheer thankfulness to God for the word that has been planted in them. That is the thing that you ought to praise. That is the thing to model your life on. That's the thing to go, ho-ho, did you see that? That is awesome, rather than high-fiving the cynical comment. Listen to what one commentary says. This may well be a word for our day, when so many people across the world are fed up with the way their country is run, with the way the police force behaves, hello America, with the way the global economy functions and so on. Often these criticisms are fully justified, as they would have been in James's own day. But the challenge then for God's people is to be able to tell the truth about the way the world is and tell the truth about the way wicked people are behaving, listen, without turning into a perpetual grumble. And in particular, without becoming someone whose appearance of wisdom consists in being able to find a cutting word to say about everyone and everything. There is still, after all, a vast amount of beauty, love, generosity, and sheer goodness in the world. Those who follow Jesus ought not only to be celebrating that beauty, but contributing to it. It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Isn't it? Are you seeking the right thing? Do you praise and prize wisdom as it really is? Or is wisdom for you being able to make the cynical remark, retweet the government takedown? This day and for the coming year, I want you to rightly recognise wisdom, to recognise true spirituality, to know it when you see it, and so concentrate on humble deeds. That is the best way that testify to God's wisdom within you. God's wisdom is never cynical, cutting, destructive or humiliating. It tells the truth without ruining people, so concentrate on humble deeds. That is worth so much more. One humble deed is worth so much more than some retweet thing that somebody has posted that's negative and cutting. You will help so much more by a humble good deed than by a cynical tirade. Behaviour is the mark of wisdom. How you live will testify to whether you are wise. Are you wise? I know who I want to follow. But it's not just actual and it's not just practical. It's not just humble. It's also peaceful. And that's the third thing. So practical, humble, peaceful. Have a look at verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness. If you are humbly doing good deeds, this is going to be the result. This is what's going to happen in your life. If you are humbly doing good deeds, you can expect exactly this. God made peace with us. It's called his word planted in us. James also calls it elsewhere the perfect law that brings freedom. If your life is based on that, it will inevitably just go around making peace with others. And there's a huge list of things there, isn't there, in 17:18? Pure. See that word there, pure? That means uncontaminated by all the things in the previous sentence in verse 16. Yeah, envy, disorder, and so on. You've kept yourself away from that. Peace-loving means you're harmonious in your relationships. Considerate means you regard the needs of others. Submissive is you're willing to give in to others, which is often a key thing in relationships, healthy relationships. Full of mercy and good fruit comes back to what we were saying before, where you're not judging others based on their appearance. Impartial, that's the opposite of favouritism. Sincere, that means unhypocritical. And then finally, James wants us to be peacemakers, those who shun discord and fighting and work hard at having good relationships. And of course, James got this from his brother, a certain person called Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers in Matthew 5, verse 9. So there you go. How you live testifies to God's wisdom. If God's wisdom is destructive, then we can behave in a destructive way. But if God's wisdom is all of these things, and you have that wisdom in you, then that's how you will be also. If you are understanding, if you've based your lives on this, then show it. Live it. Testify to God's wisdom in your life. And so let's apply this. Let me say, If you are in the middle of a conflict right now, if you've got conflict with someone here at church, if you've got conflict with someone in your family, it is time. Don't take that into a new year. Recognise the wrong you've done. You know all about the wrong they've done. But turn the mirror back on yourself. Recognise the wrong you've done, the part you've played. In the next chapter, James will say it's both of your faults because you're both trying to get something that you want in a certain way. It's both your faults. Recognise the wrong you've done. Say sorry to God. Say sorry to the other person. Listen carefully. Understand their perspective. And when you say sorry, don't say the word but. You know, I'm really sorry, but. Because it will just cancel out the fact that you said sorry. If you're in the middle of conflict right now, then it's time. Are you wise and understanding? Then show it by a life of good deeds and peacefulness. Any other way and you're not wise. It just proves you're not wise. But perhaps it's not conflict. Perhaps it's just ongoing awkwardness in a relationship. Things are always sort of awkward, tense, strange feelings, missing the mark, ongoing difficulty. Well, you need to try and talk and communicate about those things, and that can be hard. But also, one of the best things to do is to work hard at humble deeds of peacefulness. Work hard at humble good deeds of peacefulness in that relationship. It will make things so much better. Tom Wright, in his little commentary on James, he says, suppose you lived in a village or worked in a college or on a factory, or on a farm. Suppose some of the people you met every day were like the people of verse 16. Have a look at them. And then some of the other people you met were like the people of verse 17. Which one would you rather see coming toward you down the street? Which one would you rather have as your neighbour? The question answers itself. The challenge now is how we become that neighbour ourselves and how we become that person walking down the street ourselves. And once more, the answer is this. Wisdom comes from above. Pray for wisdom. It's good, isn't it? The Aussie evangelist John Dixon, in his commentary on James, he says, faithful Christian living involves service more than study, love more than contemplation, harmony in relationships more than personal equilibrium, which is a key Buddhist principle. James reminds us of something that is core to our faith. In contrast to Buddhism, Christianity is less about philosophical wisdom and more about the wisdom of good relationships with God and with one another. Who is wise and understanding among you? You should ask God, who gives generously to all. And because of God's grace and mercy, it will be given. He will give it. Let us pray. Lord, we pray now that you will help us to be people who, first of all, have that word planted in us. Plant that word in us, we pray. And then let us live like it. Let us show it by what we do. Thank you that over all of this, it is your work that you are doing, that you are planting the word in people, and that you are making people into humble new peacemakers. So please do that work in us as a church, we pray. Amen.